Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to this post-Super Bowl episode of the Sports is Life podcast.
Please, I'm going to go ahead and say excuse my coughing now. I just got over the flu.
This podcast can be your Michael Jordan game five of the...
No, it can't be. I'm already over the flu.
Oh, yeah. Touché. Super Bowl 54. I know it's been a week now, but... We have to speak on it. Thank goodness for Pat Mahomes.
Yup.
Because like I said last episode, I'm all about in the year of the black quarterback. I was rooting for the Chiefs no matter what.
I mean, I was rooting for the Chiefs no matter what. In addition to the fact that I really just, there were people on the 49ers who I actively did not want to win. Starting, you know, Jimmy G, Kyle Shanahan, Nick Bosa. The only person I actually liked was Richard Sherman.
I like Richard Sherman too, but I feel like during the last podcast, I may have mentioned that San Francisco's defense, especially their secondary, was not going to be able to line up man-to-man with Kansas City's receivers. And late in the game, they tried to do that, and Richard Sherman got burnt. I mean, there's lots of reasons why they lost, that being one of them. Two, Kyle Shanahan... Once again, we asked in the last podcast if he gets in a similar situation to what happened when he was coordinating the Falcons offense against the Patriots. If he was going to do the exact same thing, and lo and behold, he stopped running the ball late in the game when they could have iced the game.
Yeah. I mean, it is now at a point where when – I'm saying when because I – believe that Kyle Shanahan will make it to another Super Bowl, but that this conversation is going to now like haunt him every time he does, because people are going to be like, is he going to blow another fourth quarter lead? Like,
yeah, your boy Andy Reid finally got his ring.
Yep.
Like Pat Mahomes like played well and brought them back, but honestly it kind of sucks that his I didn't feel like he was the MVP of the game. I felt like Damian Williams was. But quarterbacks are often always given the freaking MVP of Super Bowl.
Of all the MVPs of finals or the end of whatever, I feel like Super Bowl MVP is the least valuable of those awards. Because Super Bowls are always weird.
Yeah.
It's almost like... there's so much like pomp and circumstance around the game that it takes so long for the teams to settle in and just play football, and the game's over. And so it's not like, you know, the NBA or Major League Baseball, they have multiple games. So you get past pomp and circumstance and you're just playing the sport, you mm-hmm. know? Even like the NCAA, you know, as we approach March Madness, making it to the Final Four is almost the same as winning a championship. It's not the same, but the clout and the pomp is around making to the Final Four and kind of the weekend. So by the time you play the actual championship game, teams tend to be much calmer about things.
Speaking of pomp and circumstance of the Super Bowl, the halftime show with J-Lo and Shakira was... I mean, it was nice. I feel like people that were comparing it and putting it in the upper echelon of Super Bowl halftime shows clearly did not see Michael Jackson at Super Bowl 27 or Bruno Mars like 5 years ago or even Beyonce. I like how all the the non-melanin people had such a problem with J-Lo and Shakira shaking their bodies, even though that's what they do.
Right? Like, they literally have never done anything else. Like, it's so funny. Like, Shakira's been doing the same thing for 20 years. Like, why are we flipping out
of
it?
Her hips have never lied.
No, they have not. And J-Lo, well, shoot. I'm not that in shape or flexible or anything. And I'm not 50. I know black don't crack, but J-Lo at 50 is amazing.
They decided to complain about everything from what they were wearing, even though Adam Levine was
literally had his shirt off, like half naked, and they both were fully clothed. They had on bodysuits. They were fully clothed.
J-Lo swinging down a pole, even though non-melanated America has made pole dancing
an exercise class?
An exercise in a sport. So, okay. What else are you going to get mad about?
It's just non-melanated America just wanting to complain about everything. They're like, oh my God, my children's eyes. I promise you. If you've been watching television in front of your children, they've seen worse.
They even complained about Shakira doing her tongue thing, which is a nod to the type of art that they that is from her home country. But, you know.
Well, also never expect them to know about another country and their traditions and culture. Although I will say this, like, all of them probably think that Colombia is a different place than it is, because we went a couple years ago and Colombia is really nice. It is like they don't do drugs because they're known for drugs. Like, it's one of those places that you go to and you just, if you don't know what to expect and you're American, you're pleasantly surprised that it is so quote unquote westernized.
The next big event in sports coming up is the NBA All-Star Game, which is this weekend.
Yes, it is.
The NBA All-Star Game 2020, better known as the Kobe Remember Fest.
Just make sure you've gotten all of your, like, the shock, grief, and the tears out before you start watching anything All-Star related, because I swear we're just going to...
It's going to be overload.
It really is.
Team LeBron is... All of them are wearing number 2 for Gianna. Team Giannis, they're all wearing 24 for Kobe. Ain't no telling how many tributes going to happen all weekend long. They're, even the rules have been compromised.
Correct.
So whoever has the highest score after each of the first 3 quarters will get a certain amount of money donated to the charity. But the score is going to go back to 0 each quarter. At the beginning of the 4th quarter, there's going to be no time. They're going to add up the composite scores from the first 3 quarters.
Like normal basketball.
Yeah. And then whoever has the most points, they're going to add 24 to that total to make a target score. And whoever gets to that score first wins the game.
This whole, like, new rule, trying to make it interesting. You know why it's going to be interesting? It's because nobody's going to understand it. Like,
now, I will say, because they took, apparently they've been talking about this for the last few years, because this is like, or at least the target score theory they grabbed from the TBT, the basketball tournament. I mean, I don't know how many people watch the TBT. Sort of entertaining.
I never have.
I mean, at the end of the day, it's still going to be an exhibition. So, no defense until the 4th quarter anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I don't really think that NBA players should play defense anyway during the All-Star game. Let's be real.
For some odd reason, football is not over.
And it really is an odd reason.
And this episode is basically going to talk about that reason why football is not over, because the XFL is back.
They decided that we needed more football.
Vince McMahon is trying it again. But this time around, there's no he hate me. There's no, you know, the druck. There's no X factor. There's no players tearing their ACL trying to get to the ball for a coin toss. It's just good old-fashioned football 2.0.
Yeah, good old-fashioned football 2.0 that is noticeably slower than the NFL game.
Here's the thing, and we'll talk about this. Like, I mean, most of these guys that are playing XFL are, I mean, rejects from NFL teams. Players that didn't make it for one reason or another. And, I mean, you can tell the difference. It is what it is. But, hey, we got the Los Angeles team already fired their defensive coordinator because he allowed, or his defense allowed, 4 touchdowns in the first game.
I mean, 4 touchdowns, though, that's not that many. It's what, 24 points?
Yeah, they lost 37-17. Maybe they did that on purpose so the XFL can get some more hype.
Yeah.
Look, you got the kickoff is different. You don't have the players running down the field after he kicks the ball. You're allowed 2 forward passes per play, apparently, which I don't think I've seen a play yet where they've tried to put that in motion. No onside kicks. So if you want to keep possession of the ball, you're going to have to convert a like 4th and 15 from like the 30-yard line. No extra point kicks. You basically could like run a play from the 3-yard line to 5 or 10 for 1, 2, or 3 points. And then you got all the, I can't believe we're saying pomp and circumstance for like the 5th time this episode. But everything that comes with the XFL on the outside, interviewing players and coaches like during the game on the bench.
Which is so weird. And it's also weird because, like, I watched an ABC broadcast, but it was ESPN. So watching, like, ESPN sideline reporters, like, trying to shove a microphone in somebody's face while they're doing a touchdown celebration, it was like, this goes against every bit of your training, doesn't it? Every instinct you have. And I was just like, I cannot remember who it was now, but like I recognized it. I was just like, this I feel like is a bit problematic.
There was a play during one of the games on Sunday where the punter like punted the ball and it was bouncing towards the end zone and then bounced backwards and like pretty much laid on the 1-yard line. But one of the guys went down to try and down the ball and he didn't down it in time and basically pushed it into the end zone. I was like, dude, you really didn't have to touch it. So they interviewed the guy who touched the ball like right after the play. It's like, what were you thinking, basically? And he explained himself. He was like, he said that he thought the ball hit the returner. So that's why he went down to grab it. But yeah, they mic'd the officials so everybody can
hear them deliberating. That part was amusing to me. Like, camera on, officials in the huddle, listening to them deliberate, trying to figure out what number the call went on. I was like, I don't know how this comes off. I don't think that anybody at this point cares enough about who wins or loses in these games to like want to throw things at the officials yet. But I see that if this game sticks, that could become really problematic going forward.
What I thought was amusing about this weekend of XFL games was how much, like, Vegas stuff that they infused. Like, every broadcast had a spread and an over-under. Like, Vegas odds on the screen.
Yes. That is amusing, although really and truly all sports do that because, let's be real, half of what people do when watching sports is gamble. So
that's true.
There's a reason why they made sports gambling legal.
But it's like, it's week one. How do y'all know? These are brand new teams. There's no way you know how good a team is and set an arbitrary line.
They did. So the DC team played Seattle and they were like, Seattle was projected to be the worst team in the league. What Vegas sports books do to figure out the things that they figure out is literally beyond my comprehension. I agree with you, but they had lines on everything, and they even had, this is the team that's projected to be the most, like, the most underdog. They had a line of like how many games every team is expected to win and everything. I was like, I don't know how, but sure.
One thing that they did bring over from the first version of the XFL was miking up the coaches when they call plays. And everybody who doesn't understand football lingo has no idea what's about to happen.
None. And honestly, I mean, who really does? And other than like a former player, who really does understand football lingo on that level?
Maybe a bunch of people who play Madden a lot. But even then, there's still a stretch.
Yeah. I'm going to have the hubby watch with me because he went with his two best friends to the game. And so he didn't see the things like them calling the plays. So I'll have to ask him to translate for me.
Hell, the DC squad already the best football team. Or DC Defenders already better than the Redskins.
Right. I did think about that. How maybe the DC Defenders will take over for the Washington football team because...
I know when we first talked about the XFL not too long ago, we talked about how little the players are getting paid, which I don't know if that's going to change anytime soon, but they did bring over the winning bonus from the XFL version 1 as well.
Oh, that's what that was from?
Yes. The players who, back in the first run of the XFL, if you won, you got to split a certain amount of money, or the team did. Now it's just a little bit more, obviously, because the players back then were only making like maybe $1,000 a game.
Oh god! Yeah,
it was like the.
I mean, they're still not making much more.
The champions split $1 million.
Oh, that's not terrible.
But when you figure what 50 players, coaches, staff.
But it's just the players, not coaches and staff, right?
Oh, who knows? Maybe have to ask Vince.
The winning team for every game splits 100K. It's gonna be interesting to I'd love to be a fly on the wall to see like how they split that up.
How come they didn't bring back the the camera into the cheerleaders' locker room?
Oh, yeah, right. With all the issues there have been with cheerleaders over the last few years, from in the DC market alone with the Washington football team and their scandal, no, that's not going to happen.
That's just wishful thinking. So last year, the AAF. Was the spring football flavor of the month.
And that was what we call a
disaster.
House of cards, because they definitely did not build that on stable footing at all.
Now, obviously, the XFL this time around, I guess Vince went about it a little bit more practically, and he has more financial backing. Because WWE is making a lot more money than it did 10 years ago.
He is willing to lose $350 million
yeah.
to get this off the ground. Which means we might be looking at spring football for the next several years.
But here's the thing, though. That whole thing about baseball being America's pastime, I disagree. I think most of America disagrees just... based on rating, because everybody watches football. Thing is there a reason why spring football has not survived? Are people that tired of, like, after the Super Bowl, are they tired of watching football and they need a break and they are just in denial and don't want to admit it?
I mean, I think that I personally think that there's more truth to that than, people want to acknowledge. And even if it's not because of the fact that people are just whatever, it's just about the fact that you get your weekend back. Hmm. I think that like while husbands may not love the idea of not watching football like after the season, wives love it to make their husbands do things around the house, whatever. But it also makes it easier to go out of town. When else are people gonna get married if we have football all year long? There are things that need to be happening in life.
this basically goes along the more the broader topic of sports seasons. Like, everybody knows when August and September get here is football season and lasts all the way to the Super Bowl. Then everybody knows when it's wintertime is basketball season and maybe hockey season if it suits your fancy. Then everybody knows when springtime is here is baseball season. That's not just at the professional level. That's like even at the youth and like school level. You know, football's in the fall, baseball's in spring, basketball's in the winter. Soccer is practically year-round because it's a global sport, so they play it all the time.
All the time.
And it seems like the only time that a sports league that is out of season seems to survive is if it's a novelty. Such as like arena football, which back in the day was arena football was hot because like, oh, we're only playing on a 50-yard carpet? Bet.
Right.
Arena football provided like a party atmosphere that was.
No, but I think that that's Orlando Predator arena football provided a party atmosphere, but that was part of the sales pitch, right? Was this party scenario very much for adults.
Jack Daniels first down, holla back.
Right, exactly. Other teams in the league did not have that same aesthetic, which is probably why we had more fun at the Predators than anybody else as well.
And of course, once the NBA season is complete, everybody now has been looking forward to the Big Three, which the Big Three has year by year steadily gotten more and more popular.
No, I agree. The Big Three is definitely, but I also think that like the Big Three, much like arena football, is played off of a sport that we already understand. Mm-hmm. And also the summer is the most dead time in sports anyway, because all you have is the slog of a summer in baseball. So the Big Three, the WNBA, the NBA Summer League, those are going to get more pubs just because there aren't sports really, period, during, or at least not any of the big sports during that time.
I guess we'll see over the next couple years, because the XFL seems to be in a better position to succeed than it was the first time around, and even better than the AAF was last year.
I mean, it was definitely, they definitely learned from their mistakes, and they definitely took the time to build, well, it's much easier to build something when you're just building inside of an already existing organization. And the WWE is already, like, they're not having to, like, do the little things like figure out payroll or, you know, what's your HR policy or whatever. Like, they have an organization that has all of those things, like those management type things in addition to, like, you know, accounting and all those things, like all that stuff exists in the WWE like corporation. So I think that it's easier to like have that conversation.
Where is Tom Brady gonna go? I know everybody was freaking out when they saw that picture that he put up days before the Super Bowl thinking that...
That was hilarious. Like, my husband, every like computer, every time that commercial comes on, it's like, the goat! I was like, oh my god, I can't. every time. Well, there's a spot open in San Diego now because the Chargers and Philip Rivers have gone their separate ways. And frankly, Philip Rivers is somebody that I personally would like to see just retire and go away. Because, again, cannot stand him and have not been able to stand him since he was at NC State. Not the point, though. Mm-hmm. So there's a spot open there. I don't know that the Chargers, as currently constructed, are a team that is ready for prime time or even to make the playoffs. And Tom Brady did say that he's not planning on being at the Super Bowl next year in a blazer. I think he said that for everybody to assume that he would just be on the field. I assumed he'd just be somewhere else with his family.
No, he think he's going to be on the field.
No, I know where he thinks, but he didn't say that. He said he was not going to be at the Super Bowl next year with the blazer on. And so I'm going to take that to mean that he's not going to be there, period. He will be somewhere else hanging out with his family. That is the way I am choosing to take it. It looks like, I don't know where he's going to go. Like, with Tom Brady and Philip Rivers hitting free agency, I don't know that the league has ever seen this happen. But I also know that both of those two men are past their prime, and neither of them have... Philip Rivers has played for other coaches, so I think... And he's also moved from, like, San Diego to L.A. I don't know that Tom Brady... I feel like the change is going to be harder for him than he expects, because being with the same coach, the same system your entire career, and then going somewhere else... ain't something that's that easy.
Not to mention, he's probably going to have just an aura about him that he's going to expect. It's almost, I don't want to compare him to LeBron James, but you know how you've always said that LeBron is almost like LeBron doesn't want to be coached.
Correct.
Is Tom Brady going to go, whatever, if he doesn't play for the Patriots, is he going to go to a team where he think that his crap don't stink? And he's not willing to be coached because whatever team he goes to is not going to be Bill Belichick. So is he going to treat it as such and embrace the challenge? Or is he going to be like, I'm used to doing things a certain way and this is not it. So peace out.
Right. Like, and also, like, the Patriot way does not exist in that same form anywhere else. So it's really interesting to see him be in a different organization and them not have the same standards and the same stuff, because I just don't know that it's going to be the same. It's not going to be the same. And I just think that to underestimate how different it's going to be is probably a mistake.
Well, so before we hang up, your local head football coach up in the DC area of the NFL Variety, the only minority hired during this cycle.
Yep.
We can talk about that, but Ron Rivera, I mean, I guess it's only appropriate that he be the one to hire the first African-American woman as an assistant for the Redskins.
Well, she's a full-time coaching intern, which I don't know. I mean, yes. Why can't she just be a coaching assistant? I don't understand. Maybe, but I don't also, but I say that not because I actually understand at all how the process works, mm-hmm. Number one. Number two, like, she's done a couple of coaching internships and stuff like that with him before. Like, should she be able to be for? I don't know. But shout out to Jennifer King. She's a black woman in Chocolate City. Working for the Washington football team.
Yeah, Chocolate City.
You know, but many, many, like, ups to her and that opportunity. Hopefully the team isn't terrible anymore so that she gets to keep her job for an extended period of time.
I guess the NFL trying to make well, let me rephrase that. Coaches in the NFL are making strides. don't want to lump the whole NFL together.
Yes, there are specific coaches that are doing, because it's not it's not lost on me that the only minority coach hired in the cycle then makes a decision like this. You got, like, Bruce Arians down in Tampa and his staff that looks like the rainbow and looks at men and women and all these different things. I don't know that I know that there's a bunch of other coaching staffs that are like that.
Well, speaking of women, women's college basketball has pretty much been dominated by UConn for a very long time.
Yep.
Granted, they haven't won the championship every year, but apparently the parity in women's college basketball is starting to creep up a little, because for UConn to have three losses at this point in the season is unheard of. Not to mention that two of them have been, they've gotten the brakes beat off of them. South Carolina just beat them by like 14, 15 points the other night. And then a couple weeks ago, Oregon went up in Storrs, Connecticut, and beat the piss out of UConn by like 25 points. I feel like parity is a good thing. Can't have UConn just, you know, beating everybody by 40, 50 points all the time.
Yeah, that's true. But I also think that I feel like we talked about women's college basketball more because UConn was dominating everybody. It permeated or got into the mainstream sports conversation in a way that I don't know. I mean, I don't think I've thought about women's college basketball one time this season, including FSU. So, I mean, that's always the thing. It's like, as much as we want to be like, parity helps sports, dominance gives people something to talk about, though.
True. I think it helped Sabrina Ionescu's, I think it helped her cause that they went and dominated UConn, because she's the talk of women's college basketball right now.
Yeah, that's true.
Was one of the best players last year, and she actually made it public that she was returning to school. So obviously she's, you know, the best player. And I mean, I don't think anybody knows. I mean, usually UConn's teams have like one player who's like ridiculously good, and you know she's going to be like the one of the top three players drafted. I don't know who's on their roster this year, which is probably why they're not as dominant they've been in previous years. Either that or Gino Auriemma is starting to lose his mojo.
Yeah. But like anything, eventually people catch up. Other programs catch up.
Everything regresses to a mean.
Yeah, and also I think there are lots of college programs that want a lot of their sports to be good, and if they see a window, they're going to start to try and shift things in a way that allows them to do something.
Yeah, because South Carolina was no – women's basketball was dead there, and then Dawn Staley came in and built – she's basically built that program from the ground up. And it's been fun to see.
Yeah.
Sort of like what Sue has done in Florida State, even though we can't seem to get past the upper echelon of women's college basketball teams.
Yeah. I would say that women's basketball has peaked at Florida State. I mean, but Sue's been there almost as long as Coach Ham, right?
Yes.
So first I was like, well, Coach Ham has shifted things, but Sue's been there just as long, and I don't know if they're going to be able to do more at some point.
I mean, they've been to one Final Four, right?
I mean, the men haven't been to any, but I think the men had more of a uphill balance.
On that note, enjoy week two of the XFL and beyond. I'm still hoping for He Hate Me and Cheerleaders.
Probably neither of those things are going to like appear magically out of thin air. Now, maybe if ratings drop dramatically or they feel like they need a stunt, then maybe. But until then, I think you might just have to stick to what the play on the field is. Until then, enjoy All-Star. Enjoy remembering the greatness that was Kobe Bryant. Enjoy the XFL. And we'll see you in a couple weeks.